Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Well, it is Palm Sunday. It is the day that we celebrate in the Christian church, Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem. We celebrate that triumphal entry, Jesus presenting himself as king to the world. For those who are scholars and want to do a little bit of research, go research the 10th of Nisan, not the car, the month, Jewish month, 10th of Nisan is the day when they picked out the Passover lambs that were going to be sacrificed at Passover. And it just happens to be the same day Jesus rode into Jerusalem. So you can do some research around that for those who want to do a bit of in-depth stuff. But we know this is a major event because it happened in all four Gospels. We have four accounts of the story. And so all four Gospel writers write it. And it's really the start of Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. I would argue that Jesus is still here with us. Amen? Right, because he did rise again from the grave. So he's still with us, but it's actually the last week his physical body was here on earth with us. And so this is the start of it, and then 7 days later we know he rises again from the grave, and we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. If you're around on Friday, come along to our Good Friday service too. We're going to have some reflective stations, and we're just going to go through the story and really experience it through touch and feel and visuals and stuff. So it would be good reflective service. Not the service you invite someone who's a non-Christian to, because it's quite confronting. But the Sunday, invite them on Sunday to church, because that one's going to be celebratory and it's going to be great. But this is the day that we're going to celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus. And we're going to look at it from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 21, but that's where we're going to start, and then we'll move to a couple of other places and we'll finish hopefully somewhere and land somewhere. Father God, be with us today as we open your word and look at this story again, where you rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem and presented yourself as King of Kings. Lord, speak to our hearts and our minds, minister to us and speak through me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 21, we're going to start at verse 1 and get right into it. Matthew 21, give me a wave when you're there if you've got your actual paper Bibles and you're going through it like that. If you are just watching the screen, it's already up and you can do that. We got you covered. If you don't have a Bible, grab one, and if you memorized it, well, close your eyes and just recite it back to us and show us how good you really are. Here we go. Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me." Verse 3, "If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Stop right there for a minute. I don't want to camp here too long, but I just want to point out that nowhere else in Scripture do we see Jesus needing anything else. Like, he doesn't need anything, except for right here. He needs a donkey, right? Like, I want to point out that Jesus does not owe us a single thing, right? He's not indebted to us. He doesn't owe us, right? But right here, we see Jesus needing a donkey, a smelly animal with big ears that doesn't move overly fast and considered dumb. And Jesus needs a donkey, or uses a donkey, to carry him to the world, to carry him and present him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? Right? I don't know about you, but this is encouraging to me. Now I'm going to speak about me for a second, because it's encouraging to me, because sometimes I don't feel that smart. And sometimes I don't move that fast. Has a little bit to do with it. Sometimes I don't have it all together. And I feel jacked up and messed up and totally off the planet. But if God could use a stinking, smelling animal with big ears that's considered dumb, then God can use me, right? I'm going to talk to this side of the room. None of you said anything. If God could use a big, smelly animal and a donkey, he could use me. And he could use you too, yeah? Amen? Like, if God could use a donkey that is considered just messed up and slow and dumb, he can use us. Right? That encourages me right here. I'm not camping on the donkey, and I want to talk too much about the donkey this year, but it encourages me to know that God can use each and every one of us, regardless of where we think we are in life. Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Verse 5, say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, on the foal of a donkey. Hi, Daniel. By the way, in this day and age, if you were a king and you wanted to show military power and military strength and show just how good you were as a king, you would ride in on the biggest horse you had. It was a sign of strength, of power, of authority. If you were riding in on a donkey, you were riding in and it was a sign of peace, that you had no quarrels with anyone, which is really interesting that Jesus comes in riding on a donkey. Symbol of peace. But let's keep going because I don't want to camp on the donkey. We want to keep going. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed to them. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them and Jesus sat on it. Verse 8, the very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches down and from the trees and spread them all over the road. We know these were palm branches, hence why we call it Palm Sunday, right? We kind of put a few palm branches around just so you can have a bit of a visual image of what it kind of could have looked like and people, you know, waving their branches everywhere. Verse 9, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. We've seen it before. Hosanna means save us. So they're screaming out, Jesus, save us, save us, save us, save us now. There's an implication there. Verse 10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and they asked, who is this? Turn to someone and say, who is this? Who is this? And then the crowds answered the question in verse 11. They said, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Just picture this scene for a minute. Picture this scene for a minute. Right? You have Jesus coming in on a donkey. Palm branches being waved. The crowd shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And Jesus just coming in. Like the crowds that day screaming, Hosanna, save us, were actually saying to Jesus, are you the one that's going to stop the Roman oppression on us? And so they were looking to Jesus as the king that was going to do that. They were looking to Jesus as the one that would bring peace to the people. They were looking to Jesus to be the one that overthrows the enemies and restores Israel to its rightful place. They were looking to Jesus to usher in this new era for the people, for the Jews. But Jesus doesn't do what they expected him to do. His plans were so much bigger. Say, Jesus has a bigger plan. Oh, come on, people. I might go home now because you just not feel like you can, like, say it like you know that Jesus has a bigger plan for you guys, right? Just, can you do that with me? Say, Jesus has a bigger plan. Oh, now it sounds like you've had your coffee and you've woken up. That's great. Let's keep it at that level, all right? That'll be good. So Jesus has a bigger plan. And if you hear nothing else today, then hear this, that Jesus has a bigger plan for you. He had a bigger plan for them, and he has a bigger plan for you and for me, right? Jesus has a bigger plan. And I believe that our best days are ahead of us and not behind us. Amen. Hey, amen. I'm glad. I believe that greater things are yet to come, yeah? Because Jesus has a better, bigger plan than we could ever dream up. But the crowds this day, the crowds, they missed what was going on. In just a few days, they went from waving their palm branches, like just full on waving their palm branches, screaming Hosanna, they went from that to just throwing them away. They went, in a few days, went from expecting Jesus to have victory through him to losing all hope in Jesus and just turning their backs on him. In just a few days, they went from faith in Jesus as the new king to leaving him all alone, and even his disciples run off. In just a few days, the crowds go from Hosanna, Hosanna, to crying, crucify him, crucify him. And And I was sitting at home, and I've read these stories before, and like all of us, we know that if you've been in the church for a while, we've read these stories. And I was sitting at home, and I was feeling like I'd missed something in the story, because how could they go from one to the other so quick? How could they go from screaming Hosanna in faith to just nothing and turning their back? Like, how does that happen so quick? And so I read all the accounts of Jesus' triumphal entry, you know, the four gospel accounts. Nothing. Got nothing. Kind of went, I know all this stuff. I researched a couple of things. But I really wondered how this happened. And I felt God just leading me into this idea of looking at the palm branch itself, which is a weird thing to do, right? To look at the symbolism. And so I started Googling palm branches in the Bible, like just for fun, to see what would happen. There's a few instances of palm branches in the Bible, but I came across this verse in Leviticus that just blew my mind. Are you ready for it? Yeah, you don't sound like you're ready for it. You ready for it? All right, this is it. It's coming up on the screens. Leviticus 23, verse 40. It says this: on the first day, you are to take branches from luxurious trees, from palms, and willows. This is the closest I could get to a willow. It's not a willow, but it's the closest I could find this morning. And leafy other trees, and rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. This blew my mind. You're like, how? What? What's going on here? It's strange instructions, I know, but they were to take a palm branch and a willow tree branch. We would term them weeping willows, wouldn't we? Because they kind of weep. And to rejoice before the Lord with both. The technical term for it is a lulav, L-U-L-A-B, or L-U-L-U-V, depending on which part of Jerusalem or the Jews you come from, apparently. Strange instructions to take both, and I'll get back to them in a minute. But what the point was that they would take these two, and they would go and praise before the Lord in a festival or in a practice called the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Festival of Tabernacles, was this idea of remembering who God was, how he brought them out of slavery and then took them through the wilderness and then brought them to the promised land, how God had been faithful through all of it. And after 40 years in the wilderness, right, we could consider that a valley-type experience. Right, it was tough times to be in the desert. Right, and so they were brought through, and how God had taken them through to a place of victory and blessing, a place of victory and blessing. And the priest would take the two branches, I should not put them on the floor, the palm branch and the willow, and he would go in with the people, and they would praise. They would also build tents and live in the tents for 7 days as well, and there were some other things, but. They would take the two branches in. Now, when I think of palm branches, I don't know about you, but when I think of palm branches, I think summer holidays, tropical, warmth. I think happy times. Part of me wanted to get someone to fan me with one. I thought, no, that's a bit decadent. I won't do that. But I thought about it. It represents victory. In fact, that's why the people on that day when Jesus rode in, they were waving their palm branches, because it symbolises victory. That whole kind of Jesus is the victor. He's got victory here. Palm branches, right? They stand nice and tall, generally, when you don't bend them like I did, right? But then on the other hand, willows, well, the weeping willows don't necessarily bring that to mind, does it? It kind of is bent over, like it's weeping. It represents distress and brokenness and troubling times, and this is probably what they would have saw a lot of in the wilderness experience. And God instructs to take both palms and willows, weeping willows, palms and willows in both, and to praise God with both. In the good days, that feel like palm days, and in the bad days that feel like willow days. Does this make sense? Can you see why I'm starting to get excited here? That in the good times, in the times where we feel God's blessing, where we just seem to be blessed over and over and over again, and everything we touch is just coming up rosy, and all the good stuff that's going on from blessing, praise God. And we're good at that one. But then there's these other days when they're not so good. They're bad days. They're willow days. And we don't feel God as close to us as we would like. And we pray, and it seems like our prayers have not been answered, and it just seems dark, and we can't catch a break, and things are going nuts. And in those days, we need to praise God too. And that's a lot harder. To praise Him in the good days, in the palm days, and praise Him in the willow days. And regardless of what situation we're in, according to this verse in Leviticus, we're supposed to come before God with both, and we're meant to praise Him with both. We're meant to praise Him in our good days and our bad days, in our palm days and our willow days. We're meant to praise Him regardless of what's going on, because at the end of the day, God is God. At the end of the day, God is faithful. At the end of the day, if He promised something, He will do it. He knows what's best for us, right? He knows what's best for us. He knows everything. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and He knows the end from the beginning. So why are we struggling here but not here? Because He knows that we should praise Him in both the palm days and the willow days. We should come to God going, Hosanna! Blessed is He, praise You, Jesus, regardless of what day it is in our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right, because we're just getting past the intro now. See, I've come to believe that they were shouting, Hosanna, save us and shave us, and then came to shouting, crucify Him so fast because they expected something good. And what they kind of got was something a little different. Jesus didn't do what they expected Him to do. And I want to remind you today that Jesus and God is the God of the palm days, but He's also the God of the willow days. Same God. He don't move. It's us that moves. Same God. And so the people Jesus rode in on a donkey. Who is this? He's just a prophet. No, He's not just a prophet. He is God's one and only Son. The God who spoke the world into existence. The God who heals disease and changes every situation. The God that could raise people back to life. This is who Jesus is. Right, right. He can bring prodigals home and put families back together and heal mental health and restore drug addicts and break every chain. He can make the impossible possible. This is who our God and Jesus is. And they didn't see this. And through His death and resurrection, we now have life and life to the fullest. This is who Jesus is. So it doesn't matter if it's a palm day or a willow day, we can praise God. Amen. Amen? God is the ultimate power and authority in the universe. Palm days or willow days, it doesn't matter. Praise God. Like if you're looking for something else other than this whole palm day and willow day, then come back next week. Because we need to praise. That's the message today. We need to praise in both. Bringing everything out. Remember that Leviticus, could I have that Leviticus scripture back up on the screen, right? It says palm branches, willows, so it gives us the two extremes. And then it says other leafy trees. They're the days that are just, it's not a palm day, it's not a willow day, it's just an ant day. Everything in between. Every day we've got to bring and praise and rejoice and thank Him. Like that's what we've got to do. I'm feeling good. You guys feeling good yet? You enjoyed this so far? All right, good, 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 good. Because I need you to know something. Because I know Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he makes a second point of saying, again I say, rejoice. Right? He makes a point of doing that. But there's this other verse in Isaiah that I want to point out to you. Because we need to know this. Because if we don't have this, then we're in some serious trouble. If we don't know to praise Him in the good days, in the willow days, in the palm days, in the willow days, this is what it says in Isaiah, right? You ready for this? Yeah. Therefore, the abundance of what they have gained and what they have laid up, they will be carried away to the brook of willows. In other words, you could be having a palm day and it could instantly become a willow day. One email, one doctor's visit, one phone call, one comment from someone, one Facebook or Instagram status, and you could go from a palm day to a willow day like that. But I must admit, the opposite is true too. We can go from a willow day to a palm, like something might be going on and we're praying for a miracle and a breakthrough, and then all of a sudden God does something and moves something and changes, and then all of a sudden we're in a palm day because he's done something, and there's a change from here to here. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We've got to praise him both in the palm day and the willow day, because at the end of the day, God is God. Paul put it like this in Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Need plenty. I know I've learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. It doesn't matter, he says. I'm just going to praise God with both. Is this making sense? I might get the keys to come up because I'm going to keep going if I don't. Palm days, willow days. Palm days, willow days. I know what it's like to have a willow day. And I say willow days, but for me, the years before that, they were willow years. More than just days, they were willow years. And there was times where I would cry out to God and just go, God, come on. Come on. Do something. And God just kind of, he wasn't silent, but he wasn't answering the prayers that I wanted, what I expected for him to do. And it wasn't that I didn't know that he couldn't do it. It's just that what my expectations were and what God's were different. And so it was a willow couple of years, willow days for a couple of years. And through it, my spiritual director, at least I think it was my spiritual director, told me this, reminded me of it. I knew it already. That God doesn't start the day and the night like we do. Because palm branches feel like daytime and willows weeping is the night. And after a long season, you can feel like it's the night of the soul, like the dark night of the soul, willow days. Tough times, rough times, where you're struggling. But my spiritual director said, look, read the story again. He doesn't start the day in the middle of the night, and then it goes to day, and then it goes to night again. He doesn't do it like we do in the Western world. He said creation was like this. There was evening, and there was morning. The first day he starts, we may start in a willow day, but we're always going to end in a palm day. Yeah, come on, I'm excited about this one. I got one hallelujah. We might start in a willow day, but we will finish in a palm day. Amen. And I don't know what season you're in. You could be in a palm season, a willow season. Either way, I'm just wanting to remind you to praise God through it all, because this is what Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says. After this, I looked, and then before me was a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were in white robes, all holding palms in their hands. What's missing? That's because there's a day coming when we're going to get to heaven and there's going to be no weeping and there's going to be no sorrow and there's going to be no dying and there's going to be no wilderness and no pressures, no trials, no suffering, no sickness, no willow days and no willow branches. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I want to celebrate in that day. Held in their hands, it says, plural. They had two willow branches. I don't have another branch up here, damn it. Holding willows in their hands. grab me a palm branch. Oh yeah, let's get a bigger one. That will do. Yes. In their hands, which means there's no ability to even get a willow. Does that make sense? Heaven is going to be so cool when we get there. So cool. And so we celebrate today the triumphal entry of Jesus. Who is this? Well, he is so much more than just a prophet. He is God's son who can do all things. And we just need to praise him, knowing there is victory. That one day, whether it's now or when we get to heaven, we will have total victory where we have palms in both hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord in the land that is plentiful with streams where abundance flow. Blessed be his name. Blessed be his name when I'm found in the desert place. When I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Part of me just wants to tell you today just to praise all the time, to rejoice all the time. But really this comes down to knowing who is he? Who is Jesus? And some of us have to get a bigger picture of who Jesus is today. So we're going to sing this song. Beautiful song, Blessed Be Your Name. I'll get the singers to come up. And as I said, I don't know if you're in a palm day or a willow day, in a palm season or a willow season, but I just want you to praise God through it all. Lift his name up high through it all, regardless of what's going on, because one day, you'll have palms in both hands. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is good. Let's sing.